Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I received a question, or we did, which we planned to answer on yesterday's call, but time ran out. So we're going to deal with it today. The question is whether or not a Christian should have luxuries. Interesting question. First, let's define luxuries. My dictionary defines it as the comforts and beautiful things of life beyond what are really necessary. The definition continues by saying costly foods, clothing, houses, or furniture, the things a person enjoys, usually very costly and very choice. For decades, Christians have felt that they should have just enough food to eat and wear the simplest of clothes. They considered it holy to just barely make it. Somehow, poverty was thought to be a sign of spirituality or great love for God. Jesus didn't seem to function in that frame of mind. In fact, the first miracle he ever performed was one of luxury and of a material nature. It took place at the marriage feast in Cana, as told in the second chapter of the book of John. When the host of the marriage feast ran out of wine, Jesus didn't say, "Well, the guests have had enough. It's time for everybody to go home." No, he made wine for everyone in attendance, and the Apostle John reports that it was the best wine, making it a luxury. I think it's important to note that Jesus performed the miracle of the luxury for people who already had plenty of wine to drink.
You know, God doesn't mind if we have luxuries. I mean, Jesus even owned nice things. The Bible describes his cloak as being so lovely, the soldiers who crucified him cast lots to see who would be fortunate enough to own it. It was a seamless robe. And as we continue our study of the Word, we will discover many similar examples of God's luxurious giving. If God himself set a pattern, who are we to change it? Jesus is not against you having luxuries. You know, shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus was having dinner in the home of a Pharisee when a woman brought an alabaster box of precious ointment and anointed him with it. His disciples saw the action and complained, "To what purpose is this waste?" Matthew 26, verses 8 and 9, begin by saying, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." You know, instead of arguing with the apostles, Jesus just replied in Matthew 6, 9, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." You know, once again, we see Jesus does not mind nice things. He did not even answer the disciples' comments about wasting the ointment. Instead, he commented about the woman's actions and called them a good work. He even prophesied about her. In Matthew 26, verse 13, it goes on to say, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, he told for a memorial of her."
Jesus recognized there was enough wealth in the world for everyone. And it was fine for the luxurious alabaster box to be broken and its precious oil poured over. Jesus appreciated the woman's heart so much so that he said her actions would be remembered, right along with the gospel, as a magnificent memorial to her. And it's important to notice that Jesus never memorialized the actions of those who exemplified poverty, lack, or insufficiency. But in this particular passage, he memorializes this good deed done to him with a costly ointment. And we could talk a lot more about that ointment, honey, the fact that it was estimated that it cost basically a year's wages, and that's what she did.
And it also signified his death. So it was he knew that it was led of God that this happened to him in the signifying of what was coming later in his life.
And in other books of the Bible and reading, you find out the person who complained the most, the loudest, was Judas.
That's right.
He just wanted the money where he could steal it. But that's another teaching. So the question is Jesus against luxuries? The Word of God certainly gives us no indication that he opposed them during his earthly ministry. His own actions seem to indicate that he was not against them. So why are so many Christians against luxuries? Remember, the greatest luxury of all is the precious blood of Jesus, which was poured out without limit for all the world. By now, we should be convinced that if we give generously into the preaching of the gospel, God will not withhold any good thing from us. Luxuries should never take the place of the precious gospel, but they are available to the children of God. We can have the good things in life. My life began to change dramatically, ours I should say, when we started to believe God's promises. See, it doesn't really matter how expensive your clothing is or how high the price of groceries soar, because God says he'll take care of us if we're taking care of his house and the ministries that are preaching the gospel around the world. Really, it's quite simple. If we believe and trust God, well, we will get, and we give to his work. Let me add that in. And we give to his work, just as the scripture teaches, then he will bless us with what he's promised in return for our giving.
It says in Philippians 4 verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, notice this verse doesn't say God will supply these good things out of his riches in glory, but rather he will supply them in accordance with his riches in glory. You know, God doesn't live in heaven and then expect us to live miserably down here.
That's true.
That means God plans to supply for you according to the good things he enjoys in heaven. Of course, we know that heaven is not poverty-ridden. God's throne is not made out of wooden plaster and a few threadbare upholsteries here and there. You know, the Apostle John surely isn't describing a slum or a secondhand store when he gives description of God's riches in glory in Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21. It says, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophysis, the 11th a jacinth, and 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold, and really so pure it was, as it were, transparent glass. You know, God enjoys good things, and he said he will supply our needs in that same fashion according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4:19 again.
You know, honey, that's a great scripture, Philippians 4:19. It says God wants us to have good things. Think with us. Suppose you were doing well and prospering, and your son and daughter became a partner with you. Suppose he or she pleased you by being a great worker in the family business. Would you live in a mansion in the best part of town and allow your child to live in a cheap apartment in the slums? Would you enjoy riches but expect them to barely get by? Certainly not. Scripture tells us if we as human beings know how to give good gifts to our children, we can be certain that God will give even better gifts to us, his children.
In Luke 11 verse 13, it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? God does not talk about giving us small portions. The psalmist David wrote of the abundance of the Lord and how he provides. In Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Thou preparest a table, a banquet before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
You know, honey, hopefully everyone on this call is beginning to grasp the desire of God. He wants us to sit at a banquet table. He wants us anointed with costly oil. He wants our cup to overflow with good things. He wants goodness and mercy in our lives. There's no talk in the Bible about running out, running short, or doing without, and not having enough. God talks about abundance. He talks about always abounding in the magnificent things He's created for us. How many times? Have you stood in the store and weighed the difference between a bad suit and a good suit, a cheap dress, or one that's well made? How many times have you bought a poor pair of jeans instead of a pair that would last? How many times have you thought you just couldn't have the best because you're a Christian? Well, now this next statement may shock you a little bit. God wants you. Every person hearing our voices, God wants you to have the best. He feels it belongs to you. Hallelujah.
You know, last night on Sunday Night Live, we did a good teaching. And if you weren't able to, you know, plug in last night, you might go on our website. It'll be up later today, right, honey?
Yes.
And listen to this, because we talk about a lot of these principles, but in a lot more detail. And it would help you to realize how much God really is wanting to be able to bless you. It's a matter of applying the word.
You know, I want to say one other thing. This is the beginning of Thanksgiving week.
Yes, it is.
And Thanksgiving should be more than just a day we celebrate on the fourth Thursday of every month. Needs to be more than
November.
Of November. Yeah, it ought to be every month.
It could be every day.
It should be
anyway.
Every day. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I love turkey. I love dressing. I love yams. I love my wife's nutty pecan pie, or if you prefer, pecan pie. I do. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Let's not let that sort of thing interfere with us taking time to praise God.
Amen.
For what He's doing in our life, not only that day, but every day so far this year and the days yet to come. Thanksgiving, my mom told me years ago, is every day. And we need to be thankful every day.
That's right.
Think about it. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldherring.com, up at the top where it says, "Sow a seed." Just ask God what seed and have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.